College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, I'm Rob Espero with the Viral Volley Podcast. I got College Volleyball Weekly, the Beach Edition, another episode after 3 weeks of competition. We've got on the right coast, Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Charlie Ekstrom on the left coast of Stanford University. And I forgot to mention this, but there's been a shakeup in the polls, and I'm sure one of the faces is happy, and we'll let her explain what happened today in the AVCA poll.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. It's the first time FSU has ever been ranked in the top seed. So the AVCA poll came out. FSU is tied with USC for number one, and we're all ecstatic over here in Tallahassee.
There we go. Now we might as well start there, but Charlie, have you seen the poll as well? I imagine you've had a gander at it, and obviously you've seen it, Mads, but do you feel like it's an accurate reflection of where the collegiate beach game is at right now? And we'll start with you, Charlie.
Yeah, I think looking at it week by week, it's really fun to kind of see the toss-ups. And I'm kind of like every week I always say like, oh, it's really a toss-up, like numbers 8 through 20, like kind of seeing all of the battles there. And I think yet again, like there's going to be another toss-up. And I'm like, I think every week it's even more exciting to see where everyone goes. And I think everybody is coming out of, like there will be no more teams that have been completely idle as of this week. So I think that we'll kind of finally see the full playing board, which is really exciting to see. This is the first time I've ever seen a tie at number one. And so I think that that's actually an extra exciting week to see FSU and USC. And it makes so much sense to me. And it's a really cool time, really cool week of beach volleyball.
Yep. How about you, Matt? How about your take? I'm sure you're glowing, ecstatic. But I mean, as someone who's a part of the squad that's now tied for ranked number one, what's your view on what's everything happening on the polls?
Yeah, I think that the polls are very exciting. We're kind of just using that as more fuel to our fire here at FSU. Like, yes, we're tied for number one, but we want to be the sole number one. And we know we have a long way to go until the national championship. So the end poll is what matters to us most.
Yep. Now, Charlie mentioned the idle teams this weekend. Your team was one of them, but I mean, it's going to be grinding it, getting back to the grindstone here in the next few days. As a team that's been idle, how do you approach those weeks where you don't have competition? Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, so this past weekend we were idle as a preparation, kind of little bit of a preemptive like prep for finals week, because we're actually in finals week this week due to the quarter system. Mm-hmm. And so we had just a little bit of a break and we did inter-squad scrimmages. So we kept the high level of competition and a high rate of activity, so that we could keep our competitive mindsets and keep a high rate of activity going, but then just kept it inner squad so that we didn't have to have quite as much of a travel or quite as much of a day. It just kept to a practice time, which was a nice little prep, but I think it's good because it's getting us ready and keeping us in that competitive mindset coming forward when we play 8 games over our spring break. We're coming into some big competitive weeks coming in the coming weeks. And so I think that even though we were idle, finding opportunities to stay competitive during idle times was the most important part for us.
Right. Anything to add there, Mads?
Yeah, I agree. I'd say just taking advantage of that idle time, just like really working on recovery, taking your time of practice, knowing you have a little bit of extra time to really work on those like technical skills. I think it's really important, and staying competitive. I'm glad you guys did that, Charlie.
Now, I've got to ask, as the outsider, a lot of video time for you guys watching your upcoming opponents. We'll start with you, Mads.
Oh yeah, totally. Now that, you know, everyone's been playing, we've got video on other teams. It's really, really fun to like take the time and really work out a game plan. It's one of the funnest parts about beach volleyball.
How about you, Charlie?
Oh yeah, she couldn't have said it any better. I think it's really fun because of how virtual everything is. Like there's a lot of live virtual games now that you can actually watch in action that you can take notes on. And then there's also the fact that you've just got, there's just more film that's going around. So it's really nice to be able to kind of catch up and get some scouting reports going against some high level competitors.
Yep. Well, I kind of digress from our normal array of questions. So let's go back on track here. That was a full on tangent on my bad for all you listeners and viewers. But what matches and duels caught your eyes during week 3? We'll start with Mads.
Yep. So USC had a really strong performance. They've been having strong performances, but 2-5-0 wins over top really good teams. That was really awesome by them. LSU had a really good weekend. They had 4 pretty easy wins. So they had a good weekend as well.
How about you, Charlie?
I think the unspoken match so far is the FSU-LSU 3-2 win, FSU taking down LSU for the second week in a row. And then I also had one East Coast, West Coast battle of GCU versus TCU, with GCU coming out on top 3-2, a really, really tight contender match. And then another one of a really tight match as well, with Cal Poly coming out on top of Pepperdine 3-2. I think those were 3 really exciting, kind of tight, very close in rankings battles, with 3 teams coming out on top 3-2.
You know, one of the teams I did get to see last week that you mentioned was Pepperdine. And that was one of my matches, Cal Poly versus Pepperdine. Preparing for the duels that I did at UCLA for Pepperdine, it's funny, I had to do my research, and Coach Marcio Ciccoli has not gone with the same pairs the entire season. So he's been mixing them, rotating through the lineup. And I didn't know who's going to be playing it, like, let's say the number 3 and number 4 court, because I'm like, I got to do my study so I can know who's playing where and so forth. But he's been doing that. And I'm thinking, well, why would he be doing that? Especially playing a team like Cal Poly, you know, the season, a great coach, another great pool of athletes. But, you know, I get this sense that he's going to try and make a tournament run. He's just seeing all of the players that he has, the talent that he has, and how they're going to respond as they go through the season. Does that, you know, when you don't have a set pairs like that, is that a strategy, you think, that coaches employ to see who can pair up with whom, especially being that this is kind of the weird COVID season? We'll start with you, Mads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a strategy that's not as common these days. Usually coaches try and really nail out their players and try and have them work together as a team to figure out unity and what works best. But I totally see the pros to mixing it around, keeping people on their toes, having to fight for your spot. I definitely see where he's coming from.
Yep. How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I think coming from a program that has done that in the past and kind of had a little bit of mix up, a little bit of changing throughout season until we kind of found our footing, or just kind of battling with injuries, I think that that's very much a viable strategy, like Mads was saying, not as frequently used, but I think, I mean, it's Marcio. He definitely knows what he's doing, and that's definitely a strategy to be had.
All right. Now let's move on to our next question. Who were some of the top performers in your eyes? Could be pairs or even just individuals in week 3. We'll start with Charlie this time.
Yeah. So I think the pair that caught my eye, like right off the bat, of a really strong one is GCU's 4s of Navas and Hoffman. They are, I think they are ranked number 1 in 4s pairings overall, and they are just kicking butt. And they're a pairing of a freshman and a graduate senior. And that's kind of a cute little contrast. Honestly, I think it's adorable. There's kind of the maturity of the game from the graduate senior taking on the freshman, Navas, she's an incredible player as well. And so that's a good duo. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I just want to add that Navas and Hoffman are the ranked number 1 and the number 4 pairs at 10-0. They've only dropped 2 total sets, and to whom? LSU and FSU. So definitely a legit number 4 pair. How about you, Mats? Who stuck out?
So I've got 2, Taryn and Kristen from LSU. They're 13-0, and they almost got taken down by my girls, Elena and Molly, but they prevailed. So always impressed by them. And then Sarah Putt and Maddie Anderson for FSU are 3s pair. They were down 13-9 in the 3rd against LSU and came back to clinch the duel. So that was a huge moment, and that really stuck out to me.
And I'll just add that Sarah Putt and Maddie Anderson, your teammates, are also 13-0, like Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth. And they seem to have this knack for wanting to grind it out in 3rd set tiebreaks. They like to add drama to the competition, apparently. Weren't they the deciding court this last Saturday?
Yes, they were. And it was like pitch black. And it was so exciting because we were down and LSU was so pumped, and they had their really loud cheers going on. And you could just see it in Maddie and Sarah's eyes that they were not going to give up, that even though it was dark and the other team was very loud, that they still had it in them. And it was so inspiring to watch.
Some good stuff there. Now let's go into our next question. What will you be watching in week four? Any top matchups? And we'll start with Mads on this one.
FSU versus Stetson. Stetson's always been a little rival of ours, so I'm looking forward to that. South Carolina versus LSU. South Carolina is known for those big upsets, so it'd be interesting to see if they could take that to LSU. And then USC versus Pepperdine. I know they've played a lot, but I'm interested in seeing if Pepperdine can squeak out more wins against USC.
Yeah. I'm wondering what lineup Pepperdine's going to come out with, because they're 0-3 against USC, and they've had different pairings each time they've played. So I'm wondering like what the strategy will be this time, if they're going to go for it and put their true pairs together or keep experimenting. So how about you, Charlie?
Yeah, so USC Pepperdine, again, another one to watch and to see kind of where that lineup is going to fall. I also had South Carolina versus LSU for the exact reason that Mads was saying, that South Carolina is well known for their big upsets. And so I think that that's going to be an exciting one to kind of keep my eye on. I also have Stetson versus FAU that I was seeing. And I think that that's going to be an exciting one to watch as well, because similar, I think that that's going to be a kind of grind out battle between the two. And then lastly, kind of got to go the team promo of us versus Hawaii playing on Monday with Stanford versus Hawaii and Davis. And it's Hawaii's season opener. Nobody's seen Hawaii yet. So I think that that's going to be kind of an exciting thing to play them and battle them.
Yeah. And thank goodness that's on Monday, because we wouldn't be able to record our podcast with Charlie if it was on Tuesday. So yeah, you know, I agree with all your guys' selections. You know, the one I particularly want to watch, it's FAU against FSU. It just seems that FAU, I know they've got the tools in place to pull some big wins out, but I mean, against FSU with they're on fire right now. I mean, with the big wins these last two weekends, and with Mads back in the lineup, I just don't know what's going to happen there. You know, they could just dominate. Who knows? So that could be an interesting matchup to watch, and hopefully, you know, you'll get some quality play, get a better assessment of where all teams are at, because everyone's going to be in action this coming week, including Hawaii, which, like you said, Charlie, is going to be interesting to see what they come out with as their pairs, with some people electing not to come back this season. I know, Maya Hanneman was one of the names. Like, I can't recall the second name, but they were contributors in their pairs for sure. You know, with that, we have a special segment, because we're going to do a interview. We're not going to add someone in because the person's already in. It's one of our contributors, Mads Fitzpatrick. And, you know, she's had an interesting start to this season, because, you know, when we first agreed to do this all podcast again, and it's been such a wonderful thing, been great, getting great feedback. And I appreciate all you guys engaging and the complimenting the ladies who've been doing an excellent job. But, you know, we just anticipate that Mads is going to be available for the start of her season, and that didn't work out according to plan. So I wanted to ask her some questions, and Charlie's going to be my co-hostess asking the questions as well. So, but I'm going to start by saying, Mads, what's the season been like for you so far from a health perspective?
From a health perspective, it was very frustrating off the bat. Got pulled out for 3 weeks. And honestly, 3 weeks is a very long time to be missing practices. I wasn't allowed to get my heart rate up, so I couldn't lift or condition or practice. So 3 weeks coming back out of that, very, very rusty. So that was a mental and physical challenge for sure.
Charlie, want to take a stab at a question for Mads? She's pretty intimidating, I know.
I guess I can start off with the question of, for those who don't know, when did you officially find out that you were cleared to play last weekend? And going into your first weekend of competition, a couple weeks into season now, what was your mindset coming in and coming into play against some big teams?
So I found out that I was eligible to play on Tuesday. So I practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we played Friday. So that was a lot of rust that I was trying to get off rather quickly. I had so much pent up adrenaline to play. I'd just been waiting and watching for 3 weeks. So when I got out there, I was just like so pumped, so fired up and ready to go. And there was some technical skills that just weren't all the way there yet. And now after another week of practice, I feel like I've really honed in on those, and I'm back to normal.
Now you've had the benefit of being, I guess, the different experience of the first weekend against LSU, supporting from a on the bench role as a teammate, and then playing in it this last weekend. How was it? How do you compare the experiences of both weekends?
It was stressful both weekends. It's honestly almost more stressful to watch because I have no control. And then when I'm out there and I'm playing, I'm more at peace because I know what I can control. I'm just excited to get out there and play them again and to get a win there.
Anything to ask more, Charlie?
Yeah, I think my last question is, coming in after long days and big wins and long weekends, does the training, lifting, practicing environment change, or how does the energy shift back into the practice mindset when you guys come out of these big environment wins and big environment weekends?
That's an awesome question. After we have a big win, like against LSU, we'll take an hour and we say, okay, we're going to celebrate this big win for an hour. We're on the bus and we're playing music and we're super pumped and we're proud of ourselves. And then we refocus on our end goal and we think, okay, well, we had a big win, but that's not our end goal. Our end goal is a national championship. So it's really, we like to hone back and just refocus after a big win.
Yep. Hey, Mads, it's great to see you back in the live. And I think Charlie was just as excited as I was when I saw the tweet and seeing you coming out at the number 4 pair in your first duel. So we know it was quite the struggle. We know that you had a difficult time, you know, not being a part of your team, at least on the court. But, you know, so far the season's still a young season. So it's exciting to see you back out there.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You guys are the best.
I mean, if anybody, nobody really knew, but our group chat was just blowing up as we saw that she was cleared. It was like stars and confetti, like, yay, that's cleared.
Yeah, I hope you weren't checking your texts pre-match. So
listening to I just blowing you up.
Well, I wanted to end the segment at looking at some of the top pairs that you've seen so far in the nation at each of the spots. And you know, I know I sent you guys some of them, but if you know them, great. If not, I'm just curious as to what you're seeing. And it could be, you know, West Coast centric, East Coast centric. And because, you know, obviously it's hard for us to get a sense being that we're all in different locations. But we'll start with the number 5 spot. Who are some of the top names in the 5 spot for you guys? And we'll start with you, Mads.
So from FSU, Kate Privet and Jenna Johnson, they're 9-0, and they've only dropped one set versus TCU. So very powerful, very consistent 5-spot team for us.
Yep. How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I think like just with Kate and Jenna are Audrey and Nicole Norse at the 5s for USC, and they are 8-0. They've only dropped 2 sets total, 1 versus LMU and 1 versus Cal Poly. Similar to Kate and Jenna, just a really, really strong, undefeated kind of duo of teams right there.
Yeah. Now to the number 4 spot. We mentioned one of them, but let's go back over just for those who it may have slipped their mind. We'll go back to Mads at the number 4.
Mm-hmm. Alanis Nava and Paula Hoffman for GCU, 10-0. Forgive me if I said one of those names wrong, but they've only dropped 2 sets to LSU and FSU, and I got the honor of playing them, and they are so, so good. Like the freshman cut-shotting, digging everything, like so, so talented.
You're on the receiving end. Is that right? Is what I hear you say?
Yeah, I was.
How about you, Charlie?
Yeah. So I'm going to look at Liz Waters-Lega and Peyton Caffrey, which is now Mads and Liz, I believe is what the pairing was. But Liz and Peyton to start the season were 9-1. And that's a really strong, that's kind of just like a strong trio of players right there with Mads hopping in as well. And I think that it's really, really awesome to kind of see that 4s just getting even stronger at FSU.
Yep. I just need to add that for South Carolina, just Vesting and Jordan Smith, I haven't seen them, but 8-0 is pretty impressive given the schedule that South Carolina's had so far. So hoping to get some video or something where I can see, or even some firsthand experience from you, Mads, and if you see them, hopefully not on the receiving end, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I know at 8-0, that's definitely something to be proud of so far this season. Down to the number 3s, let's jump over to Charlie first on this one. Who are your top number 3s?
Yeah, so I think we've talked about them so far and we'll just keep on bringing up their names, but Sarah Putt and Maddie Mae Anderson. They are 13-0 with grinding out wins versus LSU in the 3rd set. And they are a powerhouse duo. They're just producing wins at that 3s. An undefeated 3s is an epic place to be.
Yep. How about you, Mads?
Yep. So I've known Tony Rodriguez and Ashlyn Raznick-Pope for a very long time, been playing against them forever, and they have always been so talented. And them together is a really strong and passionate pair when they play. And they're 11-2 for LSU.
Yep. Well, I'm going to throw one out there. The second best record, number threes, is Lena Bernier and Gina Lipscomb of FIU at 8-0. And I got to give a shout out to my other Cali girl. That's a Gina Lipscomb. She's from Esperanza High School. So I was like, oh, we got a California girl out there. So, but you know, they've got some solid wins in that mid-range of the rankings right now, the 10 through 16 teams, and they come out on top, obviously, at 8-0. So let's jump over to the number twos. This is where we're getting real fun here. Let's start with Charlie again. Who's your top number two team?
Number two, I'm going to look at Julia Scholes and Haley Harward. They are 8-0 and have only dropped one set to LMU's Selena Marolf and Reka Orsitov. Mm-hmm. And they are an incredible duo. They were competing professionally, as we all saw in fall and as we all saw in summer, and they were kicking butt in playing the games that they were playing in the tournaments that they were playing then. And now they're kicking butt at the twos and really, really a solid pair for USC.
And then you, Mads, it's all right to say your teammates because it's well justified.
Totally.
If you said that, I'm not saying you should say them, but
I can't help it. Kira Rutz and Tori Van Winden are 13-0 for FSU. And Kira is younger. She was a freshman last year, and Tori's a transfer. So just that combination of wisdom and experience from Tori, and then that fire and passion that youth brings from Kira. It's a great combination. And they're 13-0. They're doing everything right.
And they had the Instagram takeover for College Beach VB today. So some fun stuff to check out today. Didn't see any Mads Fitzpatrick bombs, so I guess that's a good thing.
They're in different practice groups.
I'm going to add one in there from TCU, Haley Brockett, Olivia Blackburn. You know, this TCU team, people have to keep an eye on them because they've got some solid wins at some pretty key spots. And right in the number two spot, this team is 10-1. Keep an eye on TCU, which brings us...
I need to add to that and give a little additional shout out to Haley Brockett. Haley and I actually went to high school together at Point Loma High School out of San Diego. So got a root for our Cali girls and also got a root for our Point Loma High girls. And Haley and I mean, we played club together. We go way back, and it's really awesome to see her just doing an incredible job.
You're just trying to stay on her good side. It's all right, Charlie. You're good. You're good. All right. Here's the big one. Number one pairs. We'll go back to Mads on this one.
Mm-hmm. Tina Gradina obviously is a superstar, and Sammy Slater, that combination is fierce and fiery, and they're 8-0 at the number one ranked seed. So,
and then to Charlie.
Yep. And then we've got our current and newly named ABCA/NCAA pair of the week of Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth, and they are 13-0 and a force, as we all know, and as that pair of the week title is so well deserved and well earned by them.
Excellent analysis. I'm going to throw one other question, kind of fan pick outsider perspective view for you guys, but looking at the top pairs in the nation, I've noticed that USC is undefeated at the 1-2-5. Florida State is undefeated at the 2-4-5. I mean, if you think about that from a dual perspective, that's three guaranteed wins and a guaranteed dual win. Those teams have to be pretty confident with those pairs in those spots, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, for sure. You have that undefeated season so far. You're feeling really confident going into duels, as you should. It's flawless.
Yep. And then you come across a team like Charlie Ekstrom and Sonny Villapando, who filled in nicely for you last weekend. But you know, with the competition across the nation, it's going to be hard to stay undefeated. Would you agree, Charlie?
1,000%. Yes. I think that we were actually talking about this amongst my team, talking about this amongst other players, but this season, it feels like volleyball is so much more accentuated as the game of errors, just because of a more limited practice time for a lot of teams. And so a lot of times we're going to see upsets. We're going to see kind of teams just battling it out and kind of forcing errors for the other side or having unforced errors on their own side. So I think that undefeated seasons are rare to come by, and it's really incredible that we already have six teams total, three from FSU and three from USC, from both of our tied ones, like both of them being undefeated 3 weeks in is a pretty awesome feat to have.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where we are going to end our episode, our week three recap and week four preview of College Volleyball Weekly, the Beach Edition. Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State and Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford. Always wonderful speaking with you ladies. Best of luck this upcoming week. Actually, it's more than a week for you, Charlie, because, it's going to be exactly a week since you play Monday. But FSU, busy week for you, I believe. That's right. The Beach Bash is where you're going to be at. So fans, I cannot encourage you now to follow these programs, follow Collegiate Beach Volleyball. You can be a great supporter just by following the programs on social, our athletes, and just throwing comments their way and cheering them on as they go along. Even if you're not cheering for them, you can be positive. So thank you, ladies. Have a great week, and we will speak next week. Everyone, I'm Rob Sparrow with the Viral Volley Podcast, and with me, just found out, the AVCA CollegeVB.com National Pair of the Week, and just really cool people who I've been kind of tracking on Kristen's Facebook live streams over the last year, Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss of LSU. Hey, thanks for joining me for this this quick interview this week three of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, it's always fun to talk to both of you because I just get hearing your story this last, like, well, actually it's officially a year now following you guys. What's been happening is amazing because you've come into this season and I know how you guys started playing together. Basically you came in a few months into COVID and nonchalantly said, hey, do you want to play in a tournament together? And did you ever think that this decision would have amounted to you winning almost every tournament except for one?
Never in a million years. Like, I talked to my mom a lot about it. I'm like, how in the world did all of this happen? Like, what is going on right now? Basically all of my plans have changed. And honestly, everything happens for a reason. So I'm just trying to see what that reason is. And thus far, I'm very grateful.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of it was kind of like a whirlwind of just volleyball that we definitely going into did not expect. But like Taryn said, everything happens for a reason. And it was just a great opportunity to get out and go play as much volleyball as we could possibly play.
Such diehards, huh? I picture this, like when you first mentioned the story to me, was it like 9 months ago? Like I see you guys laying in your room together, Baton Rouge, and like someone wakes up and says, hey, you want to play in a tournament together? And then the other one goes, yeah. What else do we got to do right now?
Yeah, that's almost exactly how it went, which is actually pretty funny. Yeah,
kind of like just flying off the hip there, like, oh well, let's go sky jumping. Well, so essentially, I mean, I may have my numbers a little off, but you're either 12-1 or 13-1, but it essentially took a Brazilian Olympian with a bronze medal, a three-time Olympian, by the way, and a someone who's a winner of a 4 FIVB events in a three-set thriller that was a deuce set in the third to beat you guys. So that was the beginning of 2021 at Clearwater. Now, knowing the competitors that you are, that loss had to sting, but did you feel that there was a silver lining to that, that maybe, gosh, you're pretty good and you can run with the big dogs? And yeah, sorry, Kristen.
That tournament was really good for us. I think that loss honestly kind of helped us because I think it really did like point out what we needed to work on. And I mean, I think you always take that from a loss. Obviously losing is never fun, especially for us. We are very competitive. But it was, I think, very crucial for us. Again, it really just kind of pointed out what we needed to get better at.
How about you, Taryn?
I agree. I hate losing. I really, really hate it. But like Kristen said, like right after the tournament, we were talking and, you know, we were both saying like, I'm so sorry. Like that was my fault. And obviously it was not a single person's fault, but I think it was great how much we can learn from a loss. I mean, I feel like we go back and watch film when we win, but it's like, oh, a point here and there that we're like, oh, wow, that actually went our way. When you lose and it doesn't go your way, you're like, no, I need to make that better. And so I do think, that, yeah, it was great. I think it's a great learning experience. And then you got to move on.
Well, I know I was talking to Kristen probably a little further into COVID about the teams that you were beating. And Taryn, you're new to the beach game, so you're not aware of some of the personalities and the teams you were beating. Like, wow, they're legit if they're beating some big names like you were. Did you have any sense or knowledge of who it was? Larissa and Lily that you played in that final in Clearwater. Were you aware of their accomplishments on the international level? No.
Yeah, because I Googled them. I did my research. So yes, I understand. Well, I mean, just watching them, the way that they play volleyball, that you can just tell that they're seasoned athletes. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. And then when I would like walk past their match, everyone would be like, that's an Olympian, that's an Olympian. Mm-hmm. And just whispering about it. So of course I have to go look them up, and then to see everything that they have accomplished. They are incredible athletes, and it was so much fun to compete against them.
So how did Kristen coach, how did you coach Taryn along this path, being that she did have some knowledge now? Was, did you have to say, we'll be good, just execute? I mean, what was your game plan going into playing some of the big names?
That's actually a great way to put it, because she is my coach.
It's actually kind of funny though, because for some of the games, I wouldn't tell her who the people were until after the game. And then she'd be like, oh my gosh, really? Like,
and then I would Google them.
So for some of it, I was just like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and then I'll tell her after. But it really was it. I mean, I trust like our game, and I know our game is very good. So I'm like, if we just execute on our side, then it doesn't really matter who we're playing against, because I know we will be able to compete with anyone.
Yeah. Well, how about this? What do you think the recipe for success for the both of you is? And we'll start with Kristen on this one.
I think it's, we just generally have a trust between us that we like, we genuinely care about the other person. And I think that trust kind of carries over onto the court. And we're also, we're pretty similar and not very similar in a lot of things. But the similarities is for sure in our work ethic. And I think we just always strive to be the best, and we will push each other to be the best. Like, we're not afraid to like call each other out. And I think that's, again, where the trust comes in. So I think really the strong foundation is on trust, which is very good.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Taryn? Anything to add?
Yeah, she said it really well. I think it, like, just like small examples of that would be like this summer when we were training, it would be like a really hard day. Or, I mean, if you've been in this Baton Rouge heat, it is just unbelievable sometimes. But I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I don't know what if I can do anything. And then Kristen's like, all right, well, I'm going to go to the gym. And I can't just sit here and not do something when my partner is going out and she's getting better and working hard and everybody else is doing the same thing. So I think it is just like pushing each other too, because we know how, like, we have a great expectation of what they can be, and we don't really accept anything less than that.
Yeah.
We kind of like feed off of each other.
Yeah.
It's like a
good, well, speaking of feeding, I've seen your Instagram feed, Kristen, and I'm wondering how you can be in such athletic shape with the foods that you're posting, because I'm like, wow, they are definitely not a calorie counting there. And I mean, some of the food is really, really good and probably not the most optimal for athletic performance.
We have some cheat meals every now and then.
Well,
but that's the key, is every now and then.
Yes.
Every now and then, an hour. Okay, so, but I, it's
after
it's,
post-tournament, those are always
the best.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Now, next question for you. As a pair, you've started this season 13-0. You've only dropped one set in that run versus, like, depending on what pool you're looking at, number one, number two FSUs, Elena Chacon and Molly McBain. And the stats just indicate that you two could easily be pair of the week every week of the season. And we kind of joked about that, but, you know, I'm looking at the numbers and the wins that you're getting. What are your thoughts on your pair's performance so far in 2021? And we'll start with you, Taryn.
I mean, obviously it's great. I think 13-0 is a great number. But after every single tournament, we always go right back to film and we know everything that we can do better because we never think that it's good enough. And I think that's the best way to go about the entire season and honestly career and everything that you go into. You know, like if you win, great, but you got to move past that. You have to get better. Everybody else is getting better. So, I mean, I think it's great to win, but I think it's even more important to find the ways that you can be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're definitely, like you said, it's a great number, but we're definitely not satisfied with where our play is at. Like we, again, kind of said how I said earlier, we're always striving to be better.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless you've been living under a rock for our listeners and viewers, everyone knows that there's a pretty healthy rivalry between you and FSU. And, you know, the Seminoles took a 4-1 decision at Death Valley 2 weekends ago. And then this last weekend, they won in dramatic fashion in Gulf Shores at the March to May duels in Gulf Shores. But how important is that next matchup that's going to be at the FSU Beach Bash on, I think it's the 18th of April. And then again, I think the following weekend is a CCSA championships in Huntsville, which will be the following weekend. But how big will those two matchups be for your squad? And whoever wants to jump in and take that, feel free.
I think it'll be good, especially since it's later in the season. Like you said, it's right before our conference championship. And it's also, again, back in Gulf Shores where Nationals will be. So also another great opportunity to kind of compete in that environment where we will hopefully be doing it again a couple weeks from then. But these past couple wins, their FSU is a great team. They've always been a great team. But we, with each game that we've played so far, we just know, again, losing really makes you know what you need to work on. It really points out your flaws. And I'm kind of grateful for that. Like, obviously, again, losing, not a big fan of, but kind of okay with it right now because I know our team will be better and I'm excited for what's to come.
Anything to add, Taryn?
I have complete faith in our team. I am not worried about, a loss, not awesome, but with what we're learning from each weekend and the strength that we have in our team and the depth and the skill, like I am all in on LSU. Yeah.
It's kind of a little more like fuel to the fire too. We want it like that much more the next time we play them. So,
I mean, it's always fun to have a great competition, you know, those are great games. Everybody gets fired up for those ones. So,
yeah. Now, you two have the LSU Beach Invitational this weekend with 5 duels coming in with, I believe it's number 16, South Carolina in that field. However, everyone in the beach volleyball world has their eyes on Easter weekend because LSU and FSU come out to California to play USC and UCLA, which I haven't looked at the polls, but I guess is there SC is tied 1-2 in another poll. UCLA is at number 4 in both polls. They're both doubleheaders. How important is that weekend going to be for LSU and for even just you as a number 1 pairs for the Tigers? And whoever wants to jump in.
I mean, like we've said before, great weekend of competition, lots to learn from each one of those. I'm honestly happy that we can even go to California, get in there and play some games against some of those great teams that have been training for forever. I'm really excited. I think they're going to be really fun matchups. And I think it's going to be a great learning experience and a really fun team atmosphere for all of the teams involved.
Yep. Anything to add, Kristen?
I'm super excited. I think it is just going to be a great weekend of good volleyball and good matchups. Mm-hmm. And again, it will kind of be like the East versus West, I'm kind of excited about.
That was a great event.
to see how that plays out. But again, I'm just super excited because I really do think it's going to be some good competitive volleyball.
Well, it's too bad that we couldn't shift Harward and Scholes to the number 1 spot or you guys to the number 2 spot because that was the matchup I was kind of hoping for during the AVP America Golds that were happening in the last off months because, you know, they were winning a lot. You guys were winning a lot. I'm like, oh, that would be such a great matchup. But instead you get the Latvian Olympian, Tina Gradina and Sammy Slater. So, you know, not too bad.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, hey, got Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss of LSU. Thank you for taking the time today. Fresh off your collegebeachvb.com Pair of the Week Award. And congratulations. It's definitely well-deserved. And I'm looking forward to seeing you out here in Southern California because I'll be at UCLA doing those events. So thank you again, ladies.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Always fun getting to chat with you.
And I love your Instagram feed.
I'll keep it up.
And just so you know, fans, Kristen Nuss has some great, hilarious, funny videos of her spoof play. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, every Friday.
Every Friday, Friday Funnies. Excellent.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.